On a previous episode of Shadow Realm.
That's the medicine woman.
I've seen her somewhere before.
Your friends await you in the Coconut Grove. There you will continue your journey.
But what about the deep medicine?
The medicine is already in your hands, Arya. All I can do is help you to realize its value.
Upon entering the Coconut Grove, it was clear the backwaters landscape was very different to what I had encountered in the other parts of the Wild Woods. There were no Amla or Gulmohor trees, just the odd lone banyan tree standing tall among the coconut palms. Chimpu? Ranga? Raja? Tender young coconuts that had fallen from the trees were sprinkled intermittently through the shrubbery and grass. I picked one up and sucked the milk directly through a crack in the shell. Chimpu, you've got to try this.
What took you so long?
It's this enchanted herb garden. I feel like I've been to a million places, all in the span of a single afternoon. What's that you're chewing on?
Neem. It's good for my teeth. I need some orange now to change the awful taste in my mouth. Hurry up now. We have a sick Vanar to take care of.
So help me then. I need to find a non-medicinal plant.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
It's some sort of riddle. It's what the medicine woman said we needed for deep medicine. Are you going to question her magic?
Sorry, you're right. Let's get to it.
What's that smell?
It's Tulsi.
Right. A miracle plant. That's Ma's favorite. She would put ours in the alcove in the middle of our family room so that we could keep bugs away during the summer. Look, you can break off the flowers and squeeze the essence onto the tip of your fingers.
Whatever, it's clearly medicinal. Keep looking.
Okay. Wait a second. What's this? It smells like raw meat.
It's ashwagandha. You boil it and eat it and it gives you takat, the vitality of a horse, just like its name.
Oh, yeah. Ma used this too. It also relieves stress. It's supposed to be like the Indian ginseng.
I don't know what ginseng is, but this is definitely medicinal. They're all medicinal as far as I can tell.
What's happening?
We don't have all the time in the world, you know.
What's that?
I heard something rustle through the leaves. My hands immediately went to my quiver. I pulled out my silver arrow this time and listened carefully. The creature was more light-footed and deft than Baltrorni had been. Quiet as a mouse, Ranga waved his arms to get our attention and pointed to a place 6 feet in front of my arrow. A spotted deer with golden skin. It's a chinkara. I've only ever seen one in a magazine. And it's a female.
How can you tell?
Look, she doesn't have antlers. She's just a young fawn who's lost her way and wants to get back to her mother. Where are you going?
Arya, no!
You have to stop him, now.
She led us through the wild grass. Every once in a while, she'd stop and look around for something. I kept pace with her, and before long, we were well ahead of the Vanars. Then, as if responding to an alarm call, the chinkara suddenly began to make sharp movements with her head as she quickened her pace.
She's more upset now.
Maybe she's looking for her mother for a long time.
No, something's not right. She doesn't look like the sort of animal in need of a mother.
What are you talking about? Can't you hear? She's terrified.
Stop, Arya. We need to get back. What about the healing plant?
Later.
Wait. Something's the matter with Arya.
He's under a spell. Arya, where are you going? This isn't a deer at all. It's a shape-shifting Rakshas.
I was totally bewitched by the fawn. As we wove through the forest, the landscape completely transformed. The tree cover became denser, the foliage multiplied, completely blocking all light from the sky. The forest was now dark as night. The coconut palms disappeared, and in their place, a thicket of stumpy trees whose gray-brown roots resembled old and ugly faces. Their leaves were jagged and spiked with infectious-looking thorns. Then, a strange sensation emerged from deep in my core. It started like a bundle of energy, but as it surged upwards, it was obstructed by thoughts of the fawn. The energy curdled like a lump, like a stone stuck in a tunnel. The lump of stuck energy throbbed inside my chest each time the Vaaner spoke.
Wake up, Arya! Wake up!
Ranga grabbed onto my arm, but my attraction to the Chinkara was so intense, it awoke some dormant physical strength within me, and I easily shook off his grasp. With the power of a thunderbolt, I sped towards the Chinkara.
You've got to snap out of it! Snap out of it now!
Stop, Arya. You cannot trust the bomb. She is headed to the dark side.
For a while, I followed her silhouette as she leapt through the foliage, but when it became too dark for even that, I followed the sounds of her movement. Then, the fawn's silhouette transmuted into that of a menacing ogre with huge talons. Then, it disappeared into thin air. The trance was broken.
Ouch!
Something sharp pricked my side. I was blindly grappling with horny vines that had wrapped themselves around my extremities like the sticky web of a black widow spider.
Chimpu! Ranga! Raja!
The last thing I could remember was that call, not to follow the fawn because she was headed to the dark side. And that must be where I was now, suffocated by vines. Each time I found a way to free myself, another chain of vines seemed to find its way around me, pulling me tighter than before. My bow and arrow was rendered utterly useless. The lump of energy in my chest had turned cold and hard. It blocked all sensation of the outside world. I thought about Ram, how he too had been lured into the forests by a shape-shifting Rakshas in the guise of a deer. It suddenly all made sense.
Ravan, I get it now. I know why you want to destroy the Ramayan. You don't just want to erase history. You want to destroy the healing powers of the Ramayan so everyone is forced to live in your Rakshas-infested world.
A vine strangled my face. It tried to cover my mouth, but I resisted.
Well, I've got news for you. The medicine has been in my hands all along. It's up to me to tap into it. And tap into it I will.
I closed my eyes to shut out all the evil around me. It was time to tap into my Brahman Shakti. I focused hard into the inner depths of my body until I found an energy tunnel taking shape within me. It advanced through my center, through the crown of my head. My mind's eye dug deeper into the tunnel until I reached the root. I called upon my storehouse to release its blue energy of creation, similar to what I'd seen flowing from Rishiji's staff. The embers of Brahman Shakti responded to my call and coagulated into a potent ball that burst upward through my central tunnel, pushed up the stuck energy in my chest, and erupted it through the crown of my head into a lava flow of brilliant blue energy. It shook the sinister vines and trees right to their core, forcing them to release their hold over me. And then I heard a familiar voice.
A path can only be revealed to he who shall seek it.
Thank you for listening to Shadow Realm. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with someone who'd love to journey through the Aria Chronicles. Visit thearyachronicles.com for more information. Be sure to rate and review us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Coming up on Shadow Realm.
There were Rakshasas, an entire army of them charging at me with their razor-sharp fangs, like depraved animals set loose after years of captivity.
Stay tuned for more.